Greetings and welcome to the AVOD. I'm Count Vargulon.
I am Dive Mistress.
And with us again is our very special guest, Bradley McHargue from ILoveHorror.net, who one day's name I will learn to pronounce.
But not today. Today is not
that day.
I'll just change my name.
See, that's just going to work better for everyone.
Yeah.
Say hi to the viewer at home.
Hello.
Now, Brad is here for a very special reason, because today we're finally going to talk about ultra hot movie of the day, Paranormal Activity, and he has seen it more than anyone else. How many times have you seen the movie now?
There are only three.
Oh my god, that is just shocking. Three whole times?
That's insane.
Okay,
you gotta slow it down.
Is that too seriously. Many?
Do you know what the movie I've seen the most time in theaters is?
What?
Terminator 2.
You want to know what mine is?
I saw that son of a bitch 11 times in theater.
Oh, I got you beat.
You totally do.
Wow.
I so do. Who Framed Roger Rabbit 13 times.
That's amazing. And here's where it gets weird. The second most film I've ever seen in theaters? Scream 2.
Why?
Because because I love Scream 2, and I kept taking people to go and see Scream 2. And they're like, you know, I'm not going to enjoy Scream 2. I haven't even seen Scream. And I'm like, no, anyone can watch the movie Scream 2 and have a good time. I will pay for you to go and see Scream 2. And everyone had a good time.
The one thing I really loved about Scream 2 was the soundtrack, which I actually bought and owned.
I, too, own that soundtrack.
Wow.
Pretty solid.
Yeah, except for the low point with the Master P rap. It's just awful.
But well, he ruins every album.
It's what he's best known for. But before we get into Paranormal Activity, we can start by me asking you guys a bit of movie theater etiquette. Okay, are trailers a part of the movie?
Yes.
Okay, Brad?
I'm going to go with yes.
Okay. See, I was talking to my girlfriend about the trailers while the trailers were going on. And a chick in front of me turned around and was like, hey, we're enjoying your conversation and all, but I'm trying to watch this.
Oh!
And so
wow.
Then I sat back and I'm like, so I turned to her and I said, If you enjoy the then if you like trailers, then enjoy them on your computer at home. I'll shut up when the movie starts.
Wow. Okay.
And then she said, I can't believe what an asshole you are. And I said, yeah, it really sucks for you, doesn't it? So I nearly got into a fist fight with a woman at a screening of Paranormal Activity 2 hours ago.
This is a recent thing. Okay.
This happened. Yeah, I came home to record the AVOD directly after seeing Paranormal Activity. So this just happened just now. Yeah, so I don't think I was being unreasonable because it's a trailer. It's not the movie. I don't talk during the movie.
Well, here's the thing, though. People do go to the movie. Like, part of the movie-going experience is to see the trailers. And I play the trailer game when I go to the theaters. I yell at a number. And that's how many trailers I think there are going to be. And then everyone else has to yell at a number too, but the number can't be repeated.
Oh, no, I've
and
played
so
the
it's
trailer.
Like, it's part of the show. So
part
you
of the
talk
show.
To the trailers, but keep your voice down, I think that's the issue. I think you were just being too loud.
I wasn't being too loud. I was talking in a lower than normal tone. She was just sitting directly in front of me. So she was the person who could hear me. And the situation is, and I totally found the trailer game, but I've been to the movies with you a lot of times. And you know what? We've always talked about the trailers during the trailers.
No, you have gotten up and left the theater during the trailers.
I have also done that. I go through phases where I skip trailers. But today I was just tired, so I didn't. But anyway, long story short, I might be an ass. Well, we know I'm an ass, but this is a new way in which I might specifically be an ass.
I think the asshole comment proves
Flyer
you are
ass
an ass.
High.
But anyway, no, but it was just telling the Ninja Assassin story, which I find very entertaining because that trailer was on.
It looked terrible.
I know. And I was telling the story. What's that?
Is this the actual trailer for Ninja Assassin or the pre-trailer
the actual
behind the scenes look?
Actual trailer.
The trailer.
Okay.
Yeah. No, and I was just telling the story about how it looks terrible. My girlfriend was like, that looks terrible. I'm like, yeah, well, it was written in 3.5 days, so.
The general consensus of Fantastic Fest is that it was pretty horrible.
Yeah, well, written in 3.5 days. That's the story I was telling.
Cujo was written in a day, and that's a decent book, I guess.
Cujo was not written in a day.
Wasn't it? Or was that an urban legend?
I thought it was one of his short stories that he wrote in a day. Like, I thought it was one of the... I had heard that he wrote something in a day, but I always assumed it was one of the short stories.
Cujo!
Like, I thought it was one of the Four Seasons or something like that. Because I had never heard that about Cujo.
Oh, he just doesn't remember writing it. I guess I believe that, that it was written in a day.
Okay.
Whoa. Unto me for unbuildable.
All right, so, I think my story about me being an ass is done. So now let's get to the actual story. Paranormal Activity. I have a question for you two.
Okay.
That question is, what did you find scary about this?
A lot of things.
I would love to hear. Please, go.
You can go first, Rachel.
Okay. The whole... How am I gonna? I wasn't prepared for this.
You weren't prepared to be confronted?
Not at all.
Okay.
I should have been. I don't know what I was thinking.
Okay, when have I ever not confronted you?
That's true. You're always challenging me.
I am. It's how I create delicious AVODs.
Well, part of it, I guess, has to do with the fact that we haven't seen a movie like this
since the Blair Witch Project.
10 years since the Blair Witch Project. But also, I mean, the movie just, it plays. You know, it builds up a lot of tension and suspense over the course of the film. And you have like, and all the scary stuff, it happens at night until you get to the end of the movie.
Right.
And it's really, you know, this entity that's living in the house with them it's waging this psychological war on the people in the house and on the girl in particular and wearing them down. And you're kind of getting worn down at the same time. So you have a bit of downtime during the day, but as soon as nighttime arrives, you know something scary is going to happen. I mean, the guys, he's bought the camera and set it up for the strict sole purpose of capturing this ghost on film. So you're prepared and ready for something scary to happen, but you don't know what it is. So there's that anticipation that sort of gets it going. And then a lot of the scares, I think, sort of play on your imagination because you don't ever actually see the ghost. A lot of loud noises and stuff like that, which I submit loud noises can be terrifying under the right circumstances. And I think this film plays on that and does it extremely well. And, you know, also because it's just something we haven't seen in a long time, sort of fresh and new for a lot of viewers.
Okay. I'm going to need your take as a person who's seen it the most of us.
Well, let me preface it by saying that I do consider it to be one of the
finest horror scariest movies you've ever seen in your life.
Not one of the finest, one of the scariest.
Oh, seriously. Okay.
There's definitely a difference.
There's totally a difference. Absolutely.
The movie's riddled with flaws.
Yes, it is.
But what I look for in a horror film is, I mean, I look for the whole package. But in the end, if I'm genuinely scared by it, I can overlook any negative points of the film. But I digress.
Okay.
I'm gonna agree with Rachel completely. Pretty much everything she said, I agree with.
Right.
But for me, the aspects of fear in it, I mean, because fear is purely subjective.
Of course.
It's not only did it provide a wonderful sense of immediate fear, and kind of in the same vein of like jump scares, but it's the type of film that, you know, you're leaving the film, you go home to a dark house, just pretty much watch this exact same scenario. That's what freaked me out about the Blair Witch Project. I was going into darkness. This made me afraid of the dark for the night.
Wow.
Yeah.
It played on simple, realistic fears, and I'm a firm believer that all good horror is grounded in reality.
Absolutely, I'm right there with you on that one.
Session 9 worked, even though it had a slight supernatural bent.
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
Why I think The Exorcist worked, even though it has a slight supernatural bent.
I think you're going to move past slight for the Exorcist. Yes.
Okay. Well, in the same vein, Paranormal Activity, you can say it has a slight supernatural bent.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's, you know...
It's not overpowering at all.
But... It managed, they're real fears. Like, people still are afraid of ghosts or demons or whatever, or what have you.
Yeah.
They're still afraid of the dark. And when you combine the two in such a realistic way, I mean, if you take out the completely ridiculous performance of Micah.
Yeah.
Yes, he was an asshole. And I understand
it was... Oh, my God. Great, from start to finish. I wanted to punch him in the face.
Yeah. At the same time, though, he is, I mean, he's a guy. He's a stubborn asshole. So I don't think it was too far from the realm of reality.
Okay.
It was a little over the top, but it was still there. So you mix all of those things together, and the way that they did it with subtle, it started off incredibly subtle with the door closing a little bit, and then it was throwing a loud bang here and there. And the keys in the center of the room, which you could hear, like, that first night.
Yeah, yeah, that sound is there.
You can hear the keys drop there, and you're like, you kind of forget about it. And then I picked up on it on the second and third viewing.
Yeah.
But, and then it was, the characteristic slow burn.
Yeah.
It amped up the pressure. And then if you want to take a look at the other angle, I found some of the scariest stuff, not the stuff that took place in the bedroom with the sheets coming out and the door slamming, which was still freaky as all get out.
Yeah.
But the little stuff you wouldn't think to be scary.
Right.
The when he says the footprints aren't going out of the room.
Yeah.
That's mind-blowingly terrifying, I think. When the camera's focused on her face.
Right.
And her voice drops. You're just like, you know there's no going back now.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was, moment before the last scene, that was, everyone in the theater was just like, holy shit.
Exactly. That along with
you knew. You along knew.
The EVP that he does when you hear the little voice.
Mm-hmm.
He's listening to it and goes, is that you? Or trying to say something? Is that you? And then it fades to black. It was a blip on the radar, but it stuck with me. And then the final piece I can think of is when she asks where you where he found the
photograph.
Yeah, and she said, and he said over the bed.
Yeah, over the bedroom. Yeah,
yeah. That's the type of stuff I thought to be some of the scariest, the long-term fear, if you will, for lack of a better phrase.
Right. It's the stuff that sticks with you and gets under your skin.
Exactly. You take it home afterwards. Like, I think that's the mark of a really scary movie. You take it home with you.
Even the short-term stuff, the scares in the bedroom and all that, that stuff, wears off after you wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
And all that, and you kind of forget about it. But for me, the scenes that I keep going back to in my head are, when her voice drops and the EVP and the picture and all that. And to me, I mean, it doesn't, personally frighten me.
Right.
But to me, it, I think, is the most...
It haunts you.
Yeah. I can be lying in bed at night. This is a perfect example. Many years ago, I was bored. I was on my computer at night, and I'm looking at, ghost pictures and stuff like that.
Right.
And, a video of ghost photos and all that. And then I go to bed. Then I go to bed, and I'm lying there, and everything's fine. And for some odd reason, it pops into my head. I got so freaked out, I got up and I turned music on.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, think I heard something. So, if I'm lying in bed at night and I think of her voice dropping, or if I think of the footprints coming in and I hear a door squeak, I'm immediately going to think, holy crap, there's a freaking demon in my room.
Exactly.
One final thing, and then we'll kind of move on. It's throughout the entire movie, especially when he says there's no footprints leading out. It's like, when they're awake, when they're asleep, and they mention it several times, that demon is there watching them.
Yeah.
Yes.
And like you said, Rachel, it's like they're just—he's just toying with her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like you guys are screwed. Something bad's going to happen, but I'm just going to have some fun with it. And it kind of works out because people might be saying, "Is like, well, why didn't the demon do something earlier? Why is it happening now that they're filming it?" That I mean, that ties in with the, I guess he was the paranormal psychologist.
He's a psychic. A psychic. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He comes in and he's like, you know, they don't like it when I'm here. When he comes in again, he's like, I can't stay here. It is definitely angry. It's,
yeah.
I guess it's almost the acknowledgement that it's there.
Yeah. I mean, if
and
you.
Then, well, Micah was taunting it as well with the Ouija board and then yelling all this bullshit all the time.
Yeah. That's, I mean, like when the Ouija board lights on fire and all that. In the end, if you look at it, it's like, well, why did it just do this while on camera? Why didn't it do anything else off camera? Obviously, for the sake of the movie, but if you want to, look at it outside of the realm of it being a movie, you can ask yourself, it was waiting for the time to completely screw with them.
Yeah.
Clearly, because it skipped several days in the footage.
Yeah.
Clearly, something is happening. They're just not recording it, and they don't really.
They actually mention in the thing that it quieted down for a couple of days. Like that does get mentioned.
Okay, well, that in that case, that can tie into the whole idea with the camera.
Oh yeah,
with Katie constantly telling him like it's pissed off because of the camera, and he's like, I don't give a shit. And it's you can look at it and be like, he's just a stubborn asshole. But A, it is necessary to drive the plot and to even have the movie. But B, that is how cocky assholes work in real life. You know, they don't want to show fear. And then finally, when she gets hurt, he's like, holy crap, this is real. We need to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, and then they don't get out of there.
But by then, too late.
No, what I'm saying is, like, there's a whole day of sitting around debating, should we pack, should we not pack, what should we do?
No, they're waiting for the psychic to come back.
I don't know, but even after that, like, the thing is, like, you know what? You can meet the psychic at a coffee shop.
But also leaving the house isn't going to help.
We don't know if it would have helped. Here's the thing. It would have helped for this reason. The thing that's underlining happening in the entire movie is it's her getting more stressed that is it allowing it to take her over.
But this thing follows her around.
And it always wants her, but it's the stress on her that makes her more vulnerable.
But leaving the house would in no way reduce her stress. If anything, it might increase the stress.
What I'm saying is the house has been the site of every single attack.
The demon has followed her throughout her entire life. Leaving the house isn't going to make a difference. It's still going to get her.
It's going to make a little bit of a difference simply because it's been the site of all the attacks, so you have a stress response to being there.
I agree with you, Dan, with you.
Yeah, okay.
Because the whole escalation of the movie is within that house when they get the camera. If they were to leave and abandon the camera, would stuff continue? Probably, but it would probably not be as serious.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you're kind of looking at it in more of a less supernatural, for lack of a better term, more psychological response.
Absolutely.
It's just in the whole idea of stress, and with what the psychic says, you know, negative emotions, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, in fact, like, he lays it all right down.
Yeah, he's like, everything's fine with our relationship, but as things get worse between them, so do the events.
Exactly.
Thank you for bringing this up because I never put it into this type of context.
Yeah.
You're actually making me appreciate the film even more.
Yeah, and that's the level on which I enjoyed the film, right? I got to go back to the Blair Witch Project to get this isn't a spoiler because it's the first image of the frigging movie. Don't tell me how the movie ends.
What are you talking about?
The first frame of the movie is, we'd like to thank the families of these two people. And I'm like, oh, so they're dead. Thanks.
Everybody knows that.
I didn't know that walking in. I didn't know that. There's a lot of crazy crap that can happen without both people dying. Okay.
In fairness, only one of them died.
Okay. Spoiler alert. If anyone hasn't seen the entire horror world community, I was the last person in the horror world community, who saw this movie. So we're free to go spoilers free. Like, if she didn't technically die, you know what? Nobody gets out of being possessed by a demon alive. Okay? If she's not physically dead yet, she's done. Okay?
Mentally, she's gone. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I'm just saying, whatever was her is gone. So yeah, she's dead too.
Okay.
But I just don't think that knowing how the movie's going to end, even though, I mean, it's a found footage film, like, how much leeway are you going to give the movie to begin with? But anyway, knowing that how they're going to end isn't really the point. It's watching it all play out. Like, for this, it's really more about the journey.
I know. I totally understand what you're saying, but at the same time, if I don't know how the journey is going to end, it's easier to get sucked in. Because there's a mystery. But for me, there's really no mystery because, oh, so this is the asshole thing he does that got them killed. Oh, no, wait, this is the asshole thing he did that got them killed. Like, that's the only mystery. What asshole thing is that asshole boyfriend going to do that's going to get them killed?
The asshole again.
5 minutes into the movie, that's the only place it can go. And that kind of...
I can totally understand that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you got to look at it in the same vein as... with what Rachel said, it's a found footage movie.
It is.
Obviously, they didn't release it. Unless, you know, she did it on, like, an anonymous YouTube account. Like, what I did to my boyfriend.
Totally.
That, and it's being billed, because most people who see it already know that it's considered one of the scariest movies ever made. But that's that's what it's being hyped up as.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen a scary movie that's had a good outcome.
Well, no, I hate to do this to you, but Prince of Darkness.
Doesn't have a good outcome.
Doesn't have a good outcome, but A, not everybody dies, and B, we find out in the amazing last shot of the movie that not everybody dying didn't change a thing. And that's why that film... I just got a chill across my body bigger than anything I got in that movie just thinking about the ending of Prince of Darkness. That is a nasty movie. And it's not a great outcome, but you know what? They beat the devil. You know, they seem to beat the devil and all that. And then you've got that shattering final image that you're like, oh, crap, it doesn't matter. And that's terrifying, but it doesn't have a predictable ending the way this movie tells you that it's going to have an ending, because you have this wonderful up moment where you're like, oh my God, they did it, yes. And then, boom, the rug gets pulled out from under you. This doesn't happen, that doesn't happen at all in this, because from frame one, literally frame one, you know they're going to die.
I don't think that hurts the film at all.
Well, I wasn't, okay, Brad, you're saying?
It didn't bother me. I went in knowing, it's like, for me, it wasn't a matter of it being spoiled. I just went in knowing.
Yeah.
It's a found footage film. I know they're dead. One of them's dead. Someone's dead. Nothing good is going to happen at the end.
Yeah.
For me, the whole film was the journey.
Okay.
Yeah.
As you said,
I'll admit, the film did not lose me from that opening frame, right? I didn't get lost, and I loved the early stuff. Do you know what my favorite thing in this entire movie was?
What?
First two nights. That vase on the table beside the bed... Mm-hmm. Is turned so the bumps on it in the light from the in the IR light from the camera look like there are eyes staring directly at you.
I didn't catch that at all.
Oh my God, it's terrifying!
I'm gonna have to check that out.
Yeah, how did you not notice that? It looks like their eyes, and the pattern on the vase at the bottom makes it look like teeth. It was and it was just so unsettling. Yeah. And then after that, they turn the vase, so it's not there for the rest of the nights. But yeah, those...
I was actually, because I knew something scary was going to happen, and this is what, when I know something scary is going to happen and I want to watch it, I don't want to watch it. I actually didn't watch the door, because I knew something was going to happen in the doorway, so I'm like, maybe I'll just concentrate on the two of them lying in bed.
Yeah. You've got it. Hey, I know you're going to see the movie again, Brad, so look for that in the first two nights. But anyway, the thing that got me, though, and I mean, this is where I know I become the jerk. We all know I become the jerk. That was going to happen. Come on.
It doesn't matter when, really.
Exactly. But the point is, the thing that really got me was I was with it. I was enjoying the movie. And then, just like in the Blair Witch Project, there's a point at which the actions of the characters, you know, start become... Well, no, there's one thing in the Blair Witch Project that if you took that out of the movie, I'd be like, okay, that's fine. You know what? I accept this movie for what it is. I don't like the characters. I don't find them interesting, but I accept it. But there's a period in that movie where they're walking... after they're lost in the woods, when they're walking alongside a river. And I'm like, rule one when you're lost in the woods is... even if you don't know where you're going, water knows where it's going. Find a river, follow the river, because by definition, a river leads to a lake or an ocean. That's all a river can do.
So you know? What's your analog for Paranormal Activity?
There is a point at this movie, and I think no one can deny me this point, the talcum powder point, where, actually, you know what, it's kind of before, we'll get to that, where they have on digital video... more evidence that has ever existed in the history of humanity for ghosts being real. And they, like, don't call everybody on Earth. Because there are people, if I had a suspicious breeze in my house with all the windows closed, there are 5 different people all across the world that I could phone who would be on a plane in an hour to start investigating. Okay?
I can agree with that.
These people have, and the worst part is, like, they go through the talk about it, it's like, their footprints. I'm like, what frigging planet are you on that you call that a footprint? That is a giant mutant hand with 3 giant fingers. Why are you not alarmed by this? Like, the fact of the footprints is creepy. The fact that they are clearly nothing human or animal is much creepier. There's a photograph upstairs that was in a house that burned down 15 years ago. No one has seen it for 15 years. A Ouija board set itself on fire. Okay? You can't tell me. You cannot tell me that this is not worth pursuing with something more than phoning that one number the guy the psychic gave you.
It's unbelievable. You can convince yourself. Is true and not true. And Micah.
No one thought it wasn't true. No one.
And that nothing that's happening to him is. I mean, it's happening, but nothing that has happened so far warrants any kind of reaction.
I didn't believe. No one on Earth sees a video of. And I'm going to swear now, so get ready, okay? No one on Earth. Sees a video of them walking out of a room, then in a completely closed room, wind clipping, picking up a planchet on a Ouija board, moving to different places, then the Ouija board catching on fire, and doesn't freak the fuck out.
Oh my god!
Nobody on Earth wouldn't just go nuts.
Can I respond to that with 2 parts?
Please do.
First off, you are the only person I've ever met who could take a film who could watch a film that is so outside the realm of reality.
Yeah.
Just the basic plot of it has nothing to do with real life and still refuse to suspend disbelief while watching it.
But I'm supposed to believe these are real people. This isn't an alien planet where everybody has ghostly experiences all the time and it's no big deal.
Second.
Yeah. Please, second, go.
My basic fallback on this, and I think I used the same argument when I argued Inside with you.
Yeah.
Everyone is different. No one's going to react the same way.
No, me, no. Met in your life, who didn't freak the F out after seeing something spontaneously catch on fire?
You see, The first night when the door just creaked and the keys were in the middle, that would freak me out. I may stay one more day, but I it was the second night when you heard the loud roar of whatever it was and that it hits the wall.
Yeah.
That probably would have been my other setting off point. Like, I'm gone. But throughout the movie, you do have to realize that despite the overwhelming evidence, this is the one time Mika being a skeptical asshole is important to the plot. It is because of just his personality, the I'm the tough man, no no demon from hell is going to get my woman mentality. Nothing like that. Despite, I mean, because of all that, that's why they stay. She wants to leave, or you have this great dichotomy, which encourages them to stay and sets into motion the progression of the events. She wants to either leave or just cut out the camera, because obviously it got worse with the camera. She wants to cut all that out. While he's like a school kid. He's like, you know, I grew up on ghosts and all this stuff. I think this is fun, and I want to see what happens, because I don't believe it. He is so stuck in his realm of skepticism that he does not believe anything bad can actually happen to him. And because of that dichotomy, they're constantly at each other's throats, which in turn amps up everything that is going on, which in turn leads to all the bad shit that happens, which leads to a movie.
Yeah, and I mean, I completely believe that. I completely understand, and I'm the one who pointed out the psychological thing, and you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, there is a realm. Okay, remember Poltergeist? Do you remember how little happened to them in Poltergeist before they called in Zelda Rubinstein?
Yeah.
Like, so much more than that happens to the people in this movie without even the possibility of, like, calling in professionals coming up. And and don't get me started on them not calling the demonologist. Like, dude, fix the screenplay. Have them call the demonologist on day 4 and then just him be out of the country for the next 2 weeks at that point. For her to not call until, you know, she's been mauled by an evil incubus, I just found that a bit of a stretch.
See, in the end, though, that could be explained away by what I just said.
It could be, but like I said,
that's one of those things where you
continue.
You have to kind of suspend disbelief a little bit.
Yeah.
But again, in a way, maybe I'm just trying to reason away any bad points in the film, which I can acknowledge. You know, Mika's an asshole.
Yeah.
He is clearly not written within the realm of how a normal human being would work. But there are people like that. I mean, if he was like, if all of a sudden he, like, created a pentagram on the ground or something like that in complex mathematical equations to banish the demon back to hell, then, yeah, I'd have a little bit of a problem with it. But throughout the movie, he's just a freaking skeptic, arrogant asshole who wants to protect his woman, and in the end, no good's going to come out of it.
No, I completely see why I think I understand why almost everyone loves the movie, but the thing is, I felt that, like, they needed to be more alarmed earlier, or they needed to not amp things up so quickly, because I'm just saying, like, at the halfway point of the movie, the paranormal activity has gone outside all realms of human experience, and we're still having this guy being a run-of-the-mill dick, you know, in a way that I just didn't find believable. That was my problem with the movie. I know you both disagree with me, and I'm not saying you're wrong for disagreeing with me. Normally, I'd be calling you wrong here, but I'm not.
See, you're wrong there because I don't disagree with you.
Yeah, you're just willing to put up with it.
No, it's not that I'm willing to put up with it. I agree it is a very valid reason to not enjoy the movie or to have problems with the movie. But, like, for me, yeah, I mean, it is something that just didn't bother me because I felt it was such an effective way to present the material.
Right.
Just, I mean, I was genuinely freaked out while watching the movie. But because, like I said, with Inside, people, there are 6 billion people in the world with completely unique personalities. There's bound to be someone out there who's a stubborn asshole. I'm going to keep going back to that because I believe it, not only is it obviously central to the progression of the movie, but it clearly makes sense within the context of the progression of
that character,
paranormal activity.
Yeah.
But there's also with the whole back and forth between the two. So in the end, it works. It's a little hokey, not going to lie. I mean, you know, at some point, realize you're kind of freaked out because your Ouija board just got set on fire when no one was home. Kind of freaky. But at the same time, I can understand. Me, personally, until I know I said I would freak out and run out the door.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'd also be one who's like, what else could happen? Because that's what he keeps saying. about the movie.
Well, hey, the thing is, honestly, I know what my when I would leave moment was, and that moment is she gets possessed and goes wandering off and stands around for 2 hours in the middle of the night, hovering over me, and then just wanders off. That is the moment at which I would be, you know what? Enjoy your demon. If you want to leave with me, fine. If not, enjoy your demon.
For me, it's like, I do like the fact, I mean, this kind of goes back into my whole defense of his actions.
Yeah.
He, throughout the movie, he's constantly saying, I want to see what else this thing can do. How do we make it do more shit?
Yeah, and then...
throughout.
And then, other item that is, like, people don't get alarmed enough about, claws appear on a picture underneath the glass.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, I kind of thought about that, too.
Like... yeah, it wants to be her and it wants to kill you. That's pretty obvious.
See, I actually like that. I mean, again, suspense and disbelief there.
I know. Yeah, so but you understand why I would actually have... Okay, and to be fair, you understand why I actually have a harder time suspending my disbelief in a found footage film. Because the whole point of a found footage film is supposed to be the verite that these are... I'm doing air quotes here, real people this is happening to. So yeah. my suspension of disbelief is actually lower in one of those movies than in a conventional film, because if it's a real man on the street thing, I expect them to respond like a real man on the street would.
Well, no,
not like this a-hole is the one jerk on the entire planet.
This is your problem. You've just summed it up for yourself, that you have certain expectations for these characters because you would react in a particular way to this
situation. No, I'm not saying that I would react. I'm saying there's no one on earth who would react in the way that they reacted.
You. No. These people are not you, okay?
Yes, they're not.
And you don't seem to understand that what Brow is talking about is just the enormous diversity of people and personalities on this planet. You have to allow for the fact that everyone is going to react differently to these particular stimuli, and just because you don't happen to like the way this guy handles this particular situation, there's no reason for you not to believe that that wouldn't actually happen, that somebody wouldn't...
That's not true at all. Okay, that's what you've just said isn't true at all. I'm saying there is a threshold of believable human behavior. What I'm saying is if everybody, right, is walking down... Wait, hold on. I let you make your point. What I'm saying is if everybody is walking down the street and seeing a building on fire, okay? With nobody in it, it's an abandoned building on fire. I believe that out of the 50 people walking down that street, you know, it's got to be more. The 1,000 people who walk down that street as the fire is building, one of them would just run into the burning building for no reason, okay? But I'm saying that behavior is outside of the realm of human possibility, right? And if I was watching a movie and a guy's like, I'm going to run into a burning building with no explanation for my actions, I would find that hard, a verite film, because it's outside of the realm of human possibility. And I believe Micah's actions and his lack of response to mind-boggling horror go so far outside the realm of normal human behavior and reaction to stimuli that it creates a problem for me to believe as a viewer. You see what I'm saying?
No, I can understand that.
Yeah, because there's spontaneous combustion. Something of which, you know, there has never been video evidence in history.
For Micah, that's really cool that happened.
Yeah.
Scary or freaky, it's awesome.
I'm kind of in the same boat. I mean, I know I said, you know, as soon as the door closed a half an inch, I would freak out and run.
Yeah.
At the same time, I would also be torn because I'd want to see what else he could get on video, and that's his MO.
And
he wants.
Do you know what I would? I do see what you're saying, but I don't understand why she stayed. You know, and let him continue. If that is the case, I don't even understand why she let him continue videotaping.
That's the dynamic of the relationship, though.
That she's a doormat.
Kind of.
Of course, then again, if she weren't a doormat, a demon couldn't very well possess her. You've got a point there.
No,
but seriously, like, I just think when there is a point at which they are clearly in danger and he does not have what I call sense, and that was my problem with the film. And like I said, I don't begrudge people who don't have. I'm not questioning your taste for liking this movie, guys. I'm glad you enjoyed it. If only I could find a movie I enjoyed as much as you, this as much as you did. I have. It's called Death Note. Watch it, love it, live it. But the point is, there's stuff in this I couldn't get past because I just thought it was too much. It was too far. And it happened too fast. And weirdly, you know what the crazy part is? I would have accepted them just phoning up the guys from Paranormal State as a gimme. And they'll be like, we'll be there next week to set up the cameras, Steve. You know what? That would have bought it back for me.
I have such a problem with that show. My roommate loves to watch Paranormal State, Ghost Hunters, and all that. I can't be in the room when he's watching it because all I do is continually call out their bullshit. And he gets angry with me, so I have to leave.
That's
the worst, though. The worst was when they had an episode that took place in Japan and the ghost spoke fucking English. And I'm like, Brad, come on. Please, like, you gotta give me this one.
Like, oh my god.
There's no way that Japanese ghost speak in English.
Okay. So, I think we're going to go on a split decision on Paranormal Activity. But before we move on, I got to ask. You mentioned this, Brad, you mentioned this when we did the show earlier, right? About the Fantastic Fest?
Yeah.
That there's other endings.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what they are?
Yeah. Actually, if you do Google image search for Paranormal Activity, the first two images are of the original ending from the release Slam Dance.
Really?
I really enjoyed the end that I saw.
Would you mind telling the viewer at home what it was?
Yeah. But let me just say one thing about the ending that we saw.
Yeah.
So in case anyone's just tuning in, major fucking spoiler alert.
Yeah, we just spoiled the hell out of this.
Yeah. when she threw it against the wall and then she walked in.
Yeah.
I do like the idea that she, you know, dropped down on all fours. And
well, she had become, I mean, it was clearly an animal demon, and she had become that.
Yeah, it was clearly something.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was something in her making her do that. And she sniffed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, it's crazy. And she makes the, the footstep noises were freaking me out.
Yeah.
You could tell they were heavier.
Well, they were heavier because she was carrying a body.
Yeah, and I love that. Yeah, that's the attention to detail I love.
Yeah.
But when she looks at the camera and yells at it, jumps at it, that was clearly done to appease conventional horror audience.
Oh, clearly.
Who wants a big jump scare at the end. I personally thought it would have been a hell of a lot more effective had she just reached up and turned off the camera while smiling into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That I thought would have been...
Why is she trying to bite the camera?
But the obvious... The other two endings.
Oh, there's two endings.
Apparently there are several more that he might put on the DVD.
Oh, sweet.
The two that I know of
are
the one that aired at Slam, it was attached to the screener at Slam Dance like 2 years ago.
Okay.
Before it was picked up at Paramount and distributed.
Right.
She goes downstairs, screams. He runs downstairs. You hear a struggle, then you hear silence. She comes back upstairs. He's nowhere to be seen. He's done with. She sits on the, like, if you're looking at the bed from the camera's point of view in the front left corner.
Yeah.
Sits by there and just rocks back and forth while the camera goes by like 2 or 3 days.
Oh.
Creepy. Yeah, she's just sitting there rocking back and forth, clutching the knife because she spilled the blood all over, so you know he's dead.
Yeah.
Throughout that time, you hear the phone ring in the background. It's her friend from earlier in the movie and all that jazz. And then you hear a knock on the door, and it's the cops. Mm-hmm. The cops come upstairs, and that's when she snaps out of it. And then she has the knife in her hand. She gets up at them, and they shoot her. People seem to think that was one of the better endings. I don't like that one.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet,
until the cops shooting her, that did sound really creepy, though.
Yeah. Had it just been like that, had it gone through like
a couple days.
No, and then you do the thing until the memory card fills up, and then it just goes blank, and we don't know what happened afterwards.
That's a good one, too.
That's how you end that.
But however, I would have liked to combine that one with the other ending that I don't that I think has been seen like once.
Okay.
Which is, I think he gets thrown against the camera.
Yeah.
And then she slits her throat.
Oh, that had been silly. Cool.
I like the memory card idea, but I thought it would have been awesome had she just been rocking there and like 6, 7, 8, 9 days gone by, obviously sped up.
Yeah.
And then she looks at the camera and then just slits her throat.
That would have been
That'd be good.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah, the whole jump scare ending was kind of one of the weakest things about the movie.
It in the end, took the movie down. I mean, I gave it a 10 out of 10 rating on my review.
I saw that, yeah.
In the end, it took it down from being...
the greatest thing.
The greatest thing that I've ever seen in my you know, state that I get with movies.
Yeah.
So for me, if someone's going to say, you know, what are the weakest points of the movie, I'm going to say because of unbearable arrogance.
Yeah.
Which, again, I both love and hate because I think it works perfect with the film. But the ending, that I watched it and it was cool. And then the little after note where it said, you know, so on and so forth, they couldn't be found, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
All that. That was obviously a good touch, kept it within the realm of the cinema verite. And the fact that the credit title card was just that little thing at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I liked the lack of credit. I thought that was cute.
Yeah, because there were, what, 4, 5, 6, 7 people involved in the whole movie.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But, so yeah, those are the endings. But to make one final point, because I'm sure we need to get to the other topics.
Yes, we do.
One of my main reasons for loving Paranormal Activity is the fact that it is precisely what I think a real horror film should be.
Right.
Founded within the realm of reality. It took real types of events that people genuinely experience today, it was made in a way that focused on bare minimalism. It did not rely on gore, did not rely on cheap tricks. It relied on putting you in the moment and real situations that are genuinely terrifying. And I'm going to get a lot of shit for this. I genuinely think cinema verite is the most effective way to make a horror film.
Okay. Because it's about, because horror films about feeling what the characters are feeling, and it's the closest you can get to a character.
More or less. It allows you to approach the material in the most realistic way.
The most visceral.
Good word.
Yeah, just came to me.
That's why Rec works.
And it does, and you're right, I loved it in Rec. Yeah, I didn't love it in Quarantine, I loved it in Rec.
The main reason I actually liked Rec, though, was because it gave them a reason to be carrying the camera around during all the shit happening.
Oh, absolutely.
They needed to get the story, they needed to film all that. And then for a while, you know, they put the camera down. There were times when you didn't see anything. That made you rely on your imagination.
Well, that's what I love, though, because so much of Rec happens kind of outside of what the camera sees, or it's just off screen. Like, there's a whole world out there, and there's stuff going on, and you don't get to see it.
Yeah.
In parts of Rec.
And then they did the same with Rec, too, but it actually made it better, because they made them cameras on the helmets.
Oh. Yeah, I really want to see that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to one.
Greatest video game adaptation. I think I already said
that. You did.
I expected a life to appear in the corner. But
the thing that really got me, just before you continue, the other thing that really got me about, Paranormal Activity is I'm like, why isn't he going all the way with this? Like, he's got time, he's got money, and he's a techie guy. I didn't understand why he didn't have a whole bunch of cameras wired up around the house.
Well, he just like, bought the camera for that.
No. But I mean, once it's clear that like other stuff is thumping in other rooms while they're in the bedroom, I'm like, maybe you put one in the kitchen, maybe put one in the living room. You know, just get
a little more help.
Just get a couple more cameras around it.
Dude, that would have been an awesome scene, though.
Yeah, it would have.
Like you could do whoever edited it after the fact.
Yeah.
Have like a little in screen display.
Yeah.
Picture.
A little picture. Something.
It could show like a shadow.
Yeah, moving like somewhere else in the house. Yeah.
Moving off camera, and then you move it to the next camera and the next screen.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Bedroom. You know what's coming upstairs. Shit. That would be an awesome horror movie.
You're right. Let's do that. Okay. Boom. Okay, folks.
Copyrighted.
Copyrighted. Sorry, our one listener. Can't steal this one. Brad and I. Okay, now here's the big question. Do we have time to get to the Ron Perlman show? Or did we just have too much of a lively debate about Paranormal Activity?
I don't know. We can push our feature back again another week.
Well, no, we can't.
You're going to stop inviting me on. I'm going to ruin your show.
But next week is the Saw show. We can't push it back just a week.
Damn it.
God, but you know what? The week after that, we're only talking about Saw 6, so we could still fit Ron Perlman in there.
Ah, see? This is the problem.
And you know what the worst part is? This totally screws up.
So much to be said about Ron Perlman.
No, I want to do a whole show about these Ron Perlman movies.
It was my idea to do the Ron Perlman
I know,
show.
And I'm the one who came up with the pun that we can't even use now. Sorry, I guess I'm really protective about that pun.
Let's
call the show Perlman Normal Activity.
we could still go with it. And we're just going to have to make the announcement right now that if you were looking forward to the Ron Perlman episode of the AVOD, you're going to have to check back in a couple of weeks.
Sorry about the pun title. I was apparently too attached to it to let it go, even when we didn't end up talking about Ron Perlman.
Yes.
And so look, if this is in the distant future and you can look at all of the AVODs in one file, fast forward to the one that called... No, seriously, this time we're actually talking about Ron Perlman. It's going to happen eventually. Oh my God, is it going to happen eventually?
It is. I'm going to make sure that it does.
So let's move out to some... Let's just close up with some other minor stuff. How has the horror dating scene been going? I can't remember what your fake... Wait, no, we're not going to use your fake dating name on here. So just dive, mistress.
Well... It's been an interesting week. There are a little over 500 members on the site.
So 500 people looking for...
It's work? Brand new. I mean, it's just in beta testing right now, the site. And my profile's been viewed 100 times.
Wait, 1 in 5 of the people...
1 in 5.
...have looked at your profile.
Yes, yes.
That's incredible.
I know. And it's a really good picture that I put up there. So. I mean, at some point, I'm picking a good one.
We almost wish we could give them
great
the names.
I'm smiling pretty. It's a wonderful photo.
Okay.
I have 3 crushes.
Nice.
As in people have crushed on me 3 times. A couple messages from different people. I haven't found true love yet.
Damn it! That would have been such a good way to end the show.
Ever hopeful.
Okay.
Giving it some time.
Okay, so what else do we have to plug? Absolutely. Next week we've got a very special episode here at the Avon. We're going to, the Dive Mistress and I, even though we are loath to do it, are going to watch all 5 Saw movies and play the Saw video game. We're not going to read the Saw comics, though, so forget that. Saw comics are not canon and don't count. we're gonna get all sawed up and ready to go, and then we're going to take you on a however the hell long it takes our journey through every Saw film.
Yes, look forward to that.
We're going to look through for themes, for motifs, rhyming images, everything. And,
guaranteed a good time. I'm not doing a good job selling that. Guaranteed a good time!
Yeah, I don't know why that was so hard for you to pretend. People enjoyed our Jason-orama. I think the Saw-orama could be at least as popular.
Yeah, I'm down to the bottom of the glass here, so.
Any thoughts on that one, Brad?
The Saw thing?
Yeah.
Actually sounds interesting as hell.
Okay, see? We have someone not even being paid. Agreeing that the Saw thing is going to be interesting. So, suck on that, who people who have questioned our sanity for watching all the Saw movies back to back. That is going to be quite a Sunday, I'm just going to say.
I know. Fun times Ed. Meanwhile, do stop by the blog and vote in the new poll. What is the scariest movie I have ever seen?
Although you will have to be using our choices for the scariest movies we've ever seen.
Right.
So that might be a little hard for you. We might have an other. We might not. is there anything you're looking to plug, Brad?
Actually, yes, I am.
Fantastic.
Because you all know I write for horrorsquad.com now.
Yes, we do enjoy your horrorsquad.com writing.
My friend Peter, the guy I stayed with and basically introduced me to everyone I met in Austin.
Nice.
Also writes for not only Horror Squad, but Sci-Fi Squad and Cinematical.
Oh.
To me, this was a big deal. His quote in his review for The Vampire's Assistant, Cirque de Freak, or Cirque de Freak, The Vampire's Assistant,
yeah,
is actually featured in the new trailer. The new
That's
TV
fantastic!
Movie. That's excellent! So
it's on Trailer Addict, if anyone wants to go watch it.
Congratulate him for it.
On there. So I wanted to spread the love because I think that's a big deal. I think it's a sign that you have made it. That is a huge deal.
Or sometimes, like Jay Stone, it just means you're a whore who wanted to make a name for himself by getting mentioned on a video box and gave Ace Ventura: Pet Detective 4 out of 4.
Wow.
No, there are a lot of people. Yeah. No, that's definitely.
But he genuinely.
More common than I realize.
Okay.
There are shills out there.
There are many, many. Sometimes they don't even go looking for a shill. Sometimes they make up the shill.
Oh, fake shill. We do love you.
We really do. No, but seriously, that's fantastic news for him. He did genuinely like the movie.
Yeah, so did I.
Okay, good. Whew. I was a little worried that it was,
His friend was ragging on him, and he was like, I genuinely liked it. It wasn't the greatest film, but it was a fun movie.
Okay, well, you know what? That's more really good pro Cirque de Freak media. So between the ads telling me I like it and this guy telling me I like it, who knows? I may actually like it.
You don't like anything.
I don't like anything.
I think we just proved that.
You're like me, man. I actually like more than you, and I'm well known for not liking anything.
It's weird. Actually, you don't like anything, and I like less than you. How weird is that?
I was beyond excited for the release of Grace.
Oh.
And I saw it, and I was like, it's absolutely trash.
Yeah.
And Brittany from Day of the Woman loves it. And she is friends with the director and writer, Paul Soleil, on Facebook, who also reads Horror Squad, because he's friends with Scott Weinberg. She told him about our debate, and he wants to listen to it.
That's really fantastic.
That's exciting. So,
I actually just added it on Netflix, and once I get it, she and I are going to do the debate.
Oh, man, I cannot wait to hear that. That's going to be so cool.
Do you guys like the movie?
I haven't seen it yet. No.
I read about it. That's about all I can give you. Read an article about the movie.
Yeah, but hey, you know what? My video store has it, so I've been looking forward to seeing it for a while. So I will definitely chime in
Your vitriolic hatred for Grace, coupled with everyone else's praise, has really piqued my curiosity.
Well, it's like my feelings towards Inside, which everyone else
you're obviously wrong.
You know what? We're not having this debate again. We already had this debate.
This is true. But you got to be impressed at the fact that it's at like 94% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I am, and then again, I do believe that. But then again, I know that people who write for the internet tend to be herd animals who just love to go with the flow of what's cool. So no, I do not rescind my feelings towards the film Inside. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about something far more important than that.
The end of our show.
Exactly. Also, Death Note. Watch Death Note. Seriously, I can't stress this enough. It's so badass.
And don't miss the stepfather.
Yeah. Did you say don't miss stepfather?
Yeah, I was kidding.
He has an ongoing feud with the writer of the film Stepfather.
Oh, see, I saw the trailer for that, and I thought the stepfather and the biological father, indistinguishable. I couldn't tell one from the other.
Like, that is probably going to hurt the film, actually.
Yeah, I, yeah, though.
Oh, but now, and you know what the weirdest part about it is? And I actually, you know what? I'll tell you the weirdest part later after I've seen it, because there's something I suspect about this movie that I was going to say now, but I'm like, no, I'll actually see it and talk about it then, because I don't want to be one of those things where I predict something and then I'm stupidly wrong about it, as I tend to be when I make predictions. So this one I'm keeping to myself, and you'll just have to take my word for it later. But anyway, that's right. Death Note, Stepfather, go see Paranormal Activity. Who are we kidding? You've seen it already. But if you like Brad, see it three or four more times just to listen to the teenage girls scream when the scary stuff happens. We know that's why you keep going back. Don't try and deny it. Okay, so you're plugging that. I am plugging the generic go to Vargilon.com because there's stuff there to read. I'm going to, once I get finished this, I'm going to hop on the old typewriter and, you know, write up my review of the new CSI, which I haven't seen yet. So yay.
Typewriter?
Yeah, I know. That's what I call my keyboard. But anyway.
Be sure to stop by vamborgs.blogspot.com for stuff, and zombot.blogspot.com for movie reviews. I'm happy to announce that I posted my review of Eye Murders over at horrormovies.ca, and it has been viewed over 500 times. So,
wow.
That's kind of exciting for me.
I really enjoy hearing you brag. If anyone ever tells you that I don't enjoy hearing you brag, they're a liar.
I know.
GD liar. All right. So I think that wraps up another single topic AVOD. I'm not sure how that happened. Fine. We're the ones who asked you to be here for this.
Yes. We are happy that you are.
No, absolutely. You gave us a lot. You gave the folk at home a lot to think about.
It gave me a lot to think about. It gave me new fodder for the article I'm going to write about.
There you go. Can't wait. Just be sure to put a link for the old Castle Vargilon in there.
I shall.
Thank you very much. Because apparently now I desperately want traffic too. It's become something I care about. Who knew? Now if I could only learn how to use Dig. But anyway.
Use Reddit.
Reddit is much better.
Okay, yeah. That is what I'll do then. See, I still learn things from you guys. It's so great. All right, so for me, Count Vargilon.
And the Dive Mistress.
And me.
Wow. You know what? You don't have to be on the ball.
Two-time guest.
Thanks for watching. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.